fighting for America.
There is a problem in the Middle East. Mad Islamists.
We're close today to 2,000 rockets have been fired from Gaza on our cities.
Utter just destruction. Everything's been destroyed. I'm just overwhelmed.
Fighting for Idaho.
Harry Reid lives in the Ritz-Carlton in Washington, D.C. And I'm sure from his perspective, the border seems secure. President Obama and Harry Reid, both divorced from the facts and divorced from the reality.
Fighting for you.
Here we have a few members of the establishment who are trying to say, we know what you did at the convention, but forget that. Go enjoy your beer, ride your ATV, and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Remember who your friends are.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Oh, it's always a pleasure to have our great friend Phil Hardy with us from Strategies 360 to talk about all things political. And Phil is really, how should I put this? Phil is living proof that this is definitely not agreement radio. So good to have you with us.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Well, the World Cup's over, thankfully.
Soccer's never over, man. The MLS season just started.
Yeah, but does anybody follow it besides those folks in Seattle and Portland?
You know what? That's not true. Kansas City gets great ratings. The ratings for MLS soccer on ESPN have routinely been beating what TBS gets for baseball.
Yeah, but baseball's dying anyway. And there's more baseball games on than MLS games. By the way, Kansas City goes back to, what was it, the Kansas City Comets of the Indoor Soccer League? Many years ago. It's been a cult-like following in Kansas City for quite some time.
Lamar Hunt, I think he was a big supporter of it, and I think he was based in Kansas City, wasn't he?
Yeah, the owner of the Chiefs. The Lamar Hunt Trophy, if you win the AFC.
I think it's the Lamar Hunt Trophy in soccer, too.
I see. All right, let's get to some things real and relevant. You wanted to talk about foreign policy first, and I want to talk about the state body politics. So why don't you talk about your
No, I want to talk about state body politics.
Well, before we get to that, though, you made a good point.
Yeah.
And by the way, we always encourage people to call in at 580-5436. Tell us about your thoughts if John McCain had been president. What you told us off the air?
Well, we'd be bombing somebody right now. we'd always be bombing somebody if John McCain was president. Yeah, I think we'd be taking out some missile batteries in eastern Ukraine and maybe even western Russia.
Do you think, though, that if John McCain were president, and this kind of goes to the heart of things, that if John McCain would have drew a red line in Syria, assuming that McCain would have been reelected, that people would have listened because obviously McCain would have followed up as opposed to the ever-evolving red line with the president?
It's a really actually interesting argument because we did nothing in Syria. We let everything happen. You know, Putin got the overhand there as much as he wanted. So he probably started thinking, hey, I'm getting away with what I'm doing over here. No one's going to stop me from taking over the Crimea and then maybe even having a little excursion into the Ukraine. It really actually is an argument worth having. However, with John McCain, you just never know when he's going to stop dropping bombs.
Well, in addition to that, of course, the other big issue has to deal with the border. And I have to tell you, this clip is something we should be playing all day long.
I ask you, how secure is the border when a 12-year-old kid with about 50,000 other 12-year-old kids across the border? That's a secure border.
Yeah, it's obviously true.
On the other hand, if John McCain were president, we'd probably have less border security.
I think that he probably would have tried to have figured something out by now and implemented it, and then the chips would fall where they may.
Well, you've worked on this issue when you were involved in Congress. So how hypocritical is it that we have both political parties saying we need immigration reform? And again, you come at this issue differently than I do. So we need immigration reform, and as soon as we get it, then we'll secure the border. And the Republicans say, no, secure the border first. We don't need new legislation to enforce the existing laws that we have.
No, that's true, and I agree with that statement. I think that we do have to secure the borders before we do anything else. But the problem is once we secure the borders, we're still going to have 10 or 11 million illegals in the country, and it's unrealistic to ask them all to leave.
All right, much more with Phil Hardy. We go to Pro-Life, who's been very patient. Pro-Life, you're at 580-KIDO.
Yeah, hey. Well, anyway, The borders are not secure. Nothing is right, and everything's upside down, and it's all because of individual responsibility. You know, I see all these kind of patriot, kind of Tea Party kind of people. They want to educate each other, but they will not run against a rhino. I see them. They could be riding candidates right now, so they could vote for themselves. They wouldn't have to vote for a rhino. Everything is individual responsibility, and the churches are not taking any responsibility whatsoever. So I think that we're in big trouble. And so I just wanted to say that
well, what's your solution?
My solution is that every individual has to become an activist. They need to go out in the streets, hold signs, run for office, and really get with it.
Well, let me hit you with this. We had people over the weekend saying, say no to the illegals. How effective were they?
Well, probably not, because the politicians are not going to do a thing about it. So they have to oppose the politicians. I think that every incumbent should get thrown out. Every darn one of them.
Well, you are running for governor, though.
Yeah.
You should disclose that.
Well, I don't mind disclosing that. And my chances of winning are not very good because, you know, people are asleep. They don't want to take any individual responsibility.
They just want to watch soccer.
Yeah, or maybe they want to listen to Kevin Miller. But
let's hope more of them do.
Well, we hope that everybody does. But
yes.
You're doing as good as you can under the conditions, and God bless you.
God bless you, pro-life. Thank you. You know, you need to be more like pro-life.
You know, the reality is he's actually right in the sense that neither side really wants to see a solution. There's too many people entrenched on the far sides who don't want to take responsibility for making this decision.
What do you mean?
Well, you've got the Steve Kings. You've got the
I think Steve King has it right.
You've got the Hulsbanks in Kansas. You know, they don't want to do anything, you know?
No. They want the border enforced. They want the laws enforced. If you speed, you get a speeding ticket, right?
Well, I think that most people on the Republican side want to see the
border.
Oh,
I don't think so.
I do. And I think there's a lot of Democrats on
John Boehner?
The states.
John Boehner cares?
I think he cares
about
wants
immigration
the
reform. How can anybody allow these folks to come into this country, considering that Americans are out of work?
Kevin, I think it's two separate issues here. Securing the border has nothing to do with immigration reform. It's just securing the border so that no further illegals can get in.
It has everything to do with immigration reform. You cannot reward people for breaking the law.
And I completely agree with you, but if we have a secure border, that's something of a matter of national security.
Then why don't we do it and stop the 12-year-olds from coming over?
Well, there are certain people who think the border is secure, and it's quite obviously not secure now.
Well, we've got the head anchor from Univision swimming across the Rio Grande. How secure is that?
You know, that could have been deleterious to his health. That is not the most clean river.
There you have it, your daily health update with Phil Hardy here at 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Of course, our statement of the day has to be this from Chris Troupas.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
I think that's an issue we're all fighting right now. People have checked out because the bad news is just so overwhelming.
You know, I think that comment from Chris Troupas, I guess it's good radio, but I don't think it's something
that's good radio. It's true.
I don't think it's something that most attorneys would agree with. I think that he's sort of just pandering.
Pandering?
Yeah, I do. You know,
how can you say pandering, Phil Hardy, when people are not voting, when people are not engaged, when they shoot down a plane and people are going, well, as long as there's gas in the four-wheeler, I'm good to go. And, hey, hopefully Southwest will be secure.
That is actually incredible, even a leap by your own standards, Kevin. These issues are not related. If we want to talk about state politics, that's one thing. If we want to talk about shooting down a jet airliner.
Well, that's what we're talking about. People have checked out of national and international issues, the border crisis, and everything else, Phil.
Well, I think it's a pity that the president has really just been pretty wishy-washy on this
He's
entire
shooting pool.
Issue. Well,
he's shooting pool and going to fundraisers.
Yeah, well, that's probably all he can get away with doing these days.
Why didn't he go to the border?
And I think that's a disgrace. It's a disgrace that he didn't go down there to see for himself what
right.
was going on.
But as someone who's worked at the highest levels of politics, both in the state and nationally, take off your partisan hat for a minute here, Phil Hardy, and tell me what would be the rationale for the president not going to the border. What did his advisors tell him? Hey, President Obama, don't go down there, even though many of his critics say he's the one that created the crisis.
He doesn't want a photograph of himself standing around a bunch of little kids in a porous border. It's a bad photo op for him, and he is a guy who lives by the good photo op. It's his Katrina moment. There's no doubt about that. He didn't have the he's cowardly. And I don't really like disparaging the president. You know, it's because it's the office that I respect, but he's cowardly. He runs away from the more difficult issues, and he never misses an opportunity to hyper-partisan almost any single event that's happening. He's a blame game guy He doesn't take responsibility. It's really discouraging, especially when there are some very serious matters that need to be attended to in the country.
Let's talk about state politics here. We had the exclusive interview with Chris Troupas. We had the exclusive interview with Barry Peterson. They are seeking an injunction against this August 2nd meeting. You've been on the periphery. You've been looking at both sides of this issue. What are your thoughts?
I was more than on the periphery. I was one of the aided county delegates to the convention.
Did you get the boot?
Well, we
did. Did they keep you?
We didn't actually get
Did they keep you?
No, you got the boot too. They didn't get a chance
to actually vote on the
Ada County delegate.
So you have a bias.
Of course, I have a bias on this issue.
Oh well, you need to disclose that.
I disclose my bias. Oh. You know, they needed an injunction before the August 2nd meeting because if the August 2nd meeting happens, it's just completely over. You know, the results. And by the way, Barry Peterson is free to run in the election on August 2nd by lobbying those state central committee people.
But people argue, Phil, that meeting they have no authority to do it. That's why they went to the judge.
Well, the governing party in this, well, of course, we'll see if the judge was willing to hear the case. And by the way, that was a question I had wished you had asked Chris Troupas last week. If the judge refuses to hear this case, and judges can refuse to hear certain pieces, of whatever comes before them, is this over? You can't appeal a judge
Phil, here's the deal. You can always call in and ask the questions yourself.
I'm not your patsy. I was just trying to be journalistic. You're right.
Trying to be journalistic. Why don't you just call in?
I will next time. But that's my point, is if this is not heard by the judge and the August 2nd meeting goes ahead and the results of that meeting are ratified by the National Party.
Ratified by the National Party. You heard Chairman Priebus called in and congratulated Barry. So if that was the issue, what problem did he have? Oh, everybody else called in and said, no, Barry's not our guy anymore.
Didn't Chairman Priebus call in 2 years ago?
He called in after, if you listened to that interview, did you listen to the interview with Barry?
I've listened to many of them.
No. You didn't listen to the interview with Barry. Chairman Priebus called in and said, hey, congratulations, and then he did a flip-flop.
Reince called in that morning.
He called in when Barry was reelected. Didn't call in to us.
I see.
He's got an open invitation. Well, unlike the other elected officials, we remember our friends, and Barry is my friend.
That's fantastic, and I applaud you for having a good friend.
And we have offered the other side a chance to come on, and they're too busy.
When there's a new chairman elected, I'm sure he'll come on your show.
But if Barry's reelected?
Then Barry will come back on the show.
All right, let's go to Tea Party Bob for Phil Hardy at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Tea Party Bob.
Oh, boy, it's Phil again. Establishment, establishment, establishment. Phil, when are you ever going to get it? You guys made the rules. You put the rules together, but you have no problem breaking them.
Oh, Bob, it's such a pleasure.
Well, just address his situation, because I hear something from you, and then I hear something from Tea Party Bob. He says that you broke the rules.
Now, hang on a second. I don't know which rules and which portion you're talking about, Bob, but we all know that Cornell Razor, who was the parliamentarian of choice for the other side, has said that he made a mistake in what people think they voted for at the end of the convention. So the rules were not broken. And this is the way things are going to go down on the 2nd. And by the way, Barry Peterson could be reelected as chairman on the 2nd. I don't think it's going to happen, but he could be. So what would happen if he was?
Well, let's hear from Bob's side of the story.
You know, I have to tell you, you guys are always crying over spilt milk. You had plenty of chance to try and iron all of these things out. They all decided not to do that. The governor put a lot of money into getting committeemen elected. They won the election. They won 30 seats in Ada County. And what did they do? Instead of trying to hand out an olive branch, they hand out a hot potato. They've been doing this for years. When are they going to stop doing this?
Bob, you know, that's a matter of opinion on how you want to handle something after an election takes place.
No, it's not a matter of opinion. This is a matter of protocol. If you want a party to be united, then you need people to reach across the aisle. And certainly, all they've done is put a brick wall between the two aisles.
Bob, I'm not sure how long you've been involved in this battle.
I've been involved in politics since I was 30 years old back in New York and New Jersey.
I believe you, and I can appreciate the way that you understand how we did our bare knuckle politics back east. But this is a battle that's been going on since 2008. There's been a constant erosion in. And I'll be honest with you, the establishment, or whatever you want to call it, the mainstream section of the party, allowed itself to fall into disrepair. It really wasn't very vital. And slowly but slowly, there were elements that were taking over the party. Well, now it's the shoes on the other foot. the more mainstream elements of our party are now very active. They're very organized, and we're trying to do what we think is best. Now, and let me be clear. There are many situations where we agree with the other factions of the party.
And why are you trying to wipe them out, Phil?
You're trying to do what we think is best. Why don't we do what everybody thinks is best?
Yeah, Phil.
You guys always want to be up at the top.
Yep.
What is this high-order pecking order that you have?
It's not a higher-order pecking order. It's, you know, the party is a party of ideas. But some of the ideas that the party has been espousing for the last 6 or 7 years...
Say no to the health exchange?
How about, like, repeal of the 17th Amendment?
Say no to the health exchange?
These things are...
You were for it before you were against it.
How about Common Core?
Yeah.
Common Core, I'm tending to agree with you guys. This is one of those moments when I think we can agree.
Nobody's reaching across the aisle, my friend.
Because people are a little...
they are with the...
I'm trying to find a word that I can use on the radio.
The iron fist is what they're reaching across with.
But that is almost... It's a natural... The pendulum may have swung far in the other way. But once this is over on the 2nd, we can get back down to work and working together.
Do you really believe that?
I hope to believe that.
Do you really believe that they're going to take that hot potato, put it on a dinner plate, and extend an olive branch to the conservatives? Do you really believe that in your heart?
Well, I'll tell you, if you saw the Red Wedding in Game of Thrones, that's what's going to happen. Tea Party Bob, thank you for the call. To Kevin in Canyon County at 580KIDO for Phil Hardy.
Hey, Phil, you know, you say the pendulum has swung the other way on this on the establishment, has got their stuff together. Remember me, the guy who's been a Republican all my life, and I said that... I may vote for the Democrat for governor this time just because that's how pissed off I am at this establishment party, Butch Otter and the likes of you. You spend more time attacking the Republican Party than you do the Democrat Party or changing this country for the better. I mean, you guys ought to be ashamed. I hear you on here, and I never call in. I get so riled up every time I hear you. You are the face of everything that's wrong in this country.
Oh, now that is harsh.
Well, maybe you ought to start listening to your own playback of your own audio, listen to what people say. You don't hear what the party says anymore, what the people say. And we are the party, not you guys. The reason that you think you're winning is because we're starting to go completely away from you. We're leaving the party.
Well, I don't want to see anybody or hear anybody leave the party. I think that we can work together because there are more issues that we agree with than we disagree with. And I will say that the longer this drags on, the worse it is for our party. It's the worse it is for almost everybody who's running as a Republican. And that's one of the reasons why I'm very discouraged that there is this lawsuit. And I really do hope that a judge refuses to hear it, because if this drags on into September or even later, then it's bad news for all of us. And I think that by then, and by the way, you cut me off before Kevin, not you, Kevin, is that I still think that Russ Vulture may end up being the chairman of the party. I think that that might be something that ends up happening.
I don't know if that's a good thing. Kevin, thank you for the call. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
The Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
The day of the convention, on June 14th, as I was headed home, I got a call from Reince Priebus, the national chairman, congratulating me on being the state chairman again.
Thank you, Ray Amaya. I told you, Phil Hardy. The chairman endorses Barry Peterson.
I think that...
Are you going to deny it, like when the governor said the congressman didn't call him and you said, well, allegedly? I go, no, that's a primary source.
Well, I could be like one of the Ukrainian rebels and say that that was a manipulated tape. I think that...
Let's go to Pat for Phil Hardy at 580KIDO. Hello, Pat.
Oh, good morning. Got the hair on the back of my neck standing up again.
That's that Phil.
Well...
I'm 77. I have been a Republican for years and years and years. I don't get why the Republicans are so deaf to the grassroots, why they sit on their hands and they are living up to the Republican, a lot of people's views of the Republican Party, that's a bunch of old white guys that don't pay any attention to anything else. They go after the Tea Party. They go after anybody that doesn't live up to what they see as being done. And also, It's like in the National Party. This Congress has sat on their hands and let Obama play king for the entire time he's been in there. You know, get off your butts and do something. Listen to people. Listen to the grassroots. I am about to change my registration to independent. I know that'll take me out of the primaries, but I don't care. I am so fed up with listening to this nanner about what the Republican Party's going to do, and they do nothing.
Well, let's let Phil Hardy address that, Pat. Thank you.
And, you know, Pat, thanks for the call, but I appreciate what you're saying. But the problem is that we have divided government right now, and the House of Representatives can pass any number of repeals of Obamacare or any other measure, and the Senate refuses to hear them. Harry Reid is the real problem here, even worse than Barack Obama sometimes. And until the November election happens and we can take back the Senate, which I really do think is going to happen this time, we're going to have a few more months of the same. But, you know, let me be clear. There are many people on the so-called Tea Party side of the aisle in Idaho and even nationally that I have a lot of respect for, you know, Justin Amash and a few of those guys that do hang around with Raul Labrador. I think that there's a lot of good things that they bring to the party, and that is here in Idaho as well. But there are certain things that we need to stop, you know, beating people over the head with, and there are a lot of people who are more on the Tea Party side who have now moved back over to where the mainstream is because some of these ideas just aren't going to get any traction. You know, the idea of repealing the 17th Amendment,
the idea of getting rid of the health exchange in Idaho,
the idea of putting Idaho back on the gold standard,
getting rid of the health exchange,
is never going to happen.
Several representatives
promised
the people that they would vote against that, and you know what they did,
and that is a waste of time, and it turns people off.
They lied to the American public.
You know, I still think that there's room to discuss things like this.
You're not going
to
address it.
I think we can address things like that, but until we get rid of the things like bringing back the gold standard, which is just ludicrous.
You're not going to address it.
I think we can address
it. You're not going to address it.
The health care exchange is probably here to stay.
You heard it here first, folks. Phil Hardy, Strategies 360. We always appreciate it. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. It's kind of like old home day. First, our friend Phil Hardy. Now, Congressman Mike Simpson joins us once again. Congressman Simpson, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning, Kevin?
Well, living the dream, boy. It's good to have you back on. First of all, before we get to some of the big issues that certainly you're concerned with, let's just talk a little bit about, how should I put this, some of the more pertinent issues, the more relevant issues that you're working on here in Idaho, whether it's protecting the potato that we've covered, the idea of the INL, and of course some other things. But, you know, these they don't garner the big headlines, but they're certainly important to the farmers and ranchers and to the economy here in the Gem State.
Certainly they are. You know, the INL is one of the lead economic drivers in southeast Idaho, and so being chairman of the Energy and Water Committee that appropriates money for the Department of Energy and hence for the Idaho National Laboratory, it's very important that we get our appropriation bill done, and we passed that on the floor the week before last. Now we need to keep working with the Senate and try to get these appropriation bills done, which is really what the Appropriations Committee has been doing. We've passed, I believe, 7 of the 12 appropriation bills in the House. We've marked up in full committee all of them except for one, which I think we will do over the next couple of weeks. Unfortunately, our colleagues in the Senate haven't passed any appropriation bills. They haven't been able to bring any to the floor because Harry Reid, the Democratic leader in the Senate, won't agree to allow amendments that ought to be debated on those appropriation bills. So consequently, the Republicans in the Senate are rejecting their efforts to bring them to the floor, and rightfully so. So that's one of the big fights we're having, but we'll continue to work on it, and obviously getting our bills done by October 1st is something that's important to me. So we'll see how that works. And then there are things like, as you mentioned, the white potato, trying to get those back on the WIC program. It's the only vegetable that that is disallowed for people on WIC not to be able to buy white potatoes with WIC stamps. And the funny thing about that is they can buy white potatoes at a farmer's market, but not in a grocery store. I just find that bizarre. And so we've been trying to change that, and we've put language in the appropriation bill that would prevent them from implementing that rule. But again, we got to get an appropriation bill done to get that done. And the third issue that's been kind of important to Southeast Idaho particularly is the Department of Agriculture's announcement that they wanted to close the sheep station in Dubois, which is the largest employer in Dubois, and obviously it's important to the sheep industry. But they, instead of proposing it in the regular way where they would have it in their budget and so forth, the Secretary of Agriculture just decided that he was going to ask for a reprogramming request of the funds and then close it. And in order for a reprogramming request to go through, which means you can redirect money that was appropriated to some other purpose, it only has to be approved by the chairman of the Agricultural Appropriations Committee and ranking member in the House and the Senate. So it just has to go by four people, and it is not debated and why they're trying to close it and what the alternatives are and so forth, which is the way it should be done if that's what they intend to do or desire to do. So I was successful in getting the chairman of the Ag Appropriations Committee, Robert Adderholt from Alabama, and Sam Farr, the ranking member from California, to oppose the reprogramming. So it's not going to close until the administration can at least make their case to Congress, and Congress has the chance to debate it and see if that's what they want to do. So those are some of the local issues that we've been working on that are obviously very important to the economy of Southeast Idaho.
Well, I got to tell you, Robert Adderholt's a friend of mine. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he is a very good guy, and we work together. There are issues in both the Interior Appropriation Bill that I was chairman of and the Energy and Water Appropriation Bill that are important to him that we work with him on, and there are important issues to me in the Ag Bill that again, we work with him on, and he's a very good congressman, and I've really enjoyed working with him. Good guy.
Congressman Mike Simpson with us here at 580 KIDO. Now, do you think, and here I'm going to do one of these pandering weenie press things, so you'll be ready for this. Let's see if we can get you in trouble with Vilsack there. Does he have a bias against potatoes? Because I hear him all the time concerning the WIC program and people buy enough potatoes, and we've played the clips of you defending the potato, but that's the life's blood of the Gem State.
Yeah, it is. And it's, as I said, it's strange to me that if they want to not allow potatoes to be bought using the WIC program, or WIC mothers being able to buy white potatoes, which are a high source of potassium, and it is an important source of fiber, which all of the studies say that WIC parents need to increase their fiber intake. It's the cheapest source of fiber. And I asked the secretary one day when he was in my office, if same question you just asked, does he have a bias against potatoes or something like that? And he said, no, it's not really the potato, it's everything you put on it. And I said, well, don't blame the potato for that. But they're looking at studies that were done 10 years ago. And if they look at the latest studies that were done 5 years ago, that same committee that 10 years ago said they needed to decrease the use of potatoes, or that WIC parents got enough potatoes without buying them with the WIC program. 5 years ago, they actually said that parents on the WIC program eat fewer white potatoes than people not on the WIC program, so they needed to increase their intake of potatoes. And so it just depends on what studies you look at. And I think with Michelle Obama's efforts to try to reduce obesity and stuff in this country, they're looking at potatoes as something that we ought to eat less of. I think they're wrong. It's actually one of the most nutritious foods that you can buy, and it has, you know, as you know, you can fix potatoes in a variety of different ways without adding all the stuff that they're concerned about. But I think that's where it really comes down to, is that they're trying to support the First Lady.
Well, Congressman Mike Simpson with us here at 580 KIDO. Congressman, let's do some quick hits here. Let's talk about the border crisis. What can Congress do? It seems the administration is kind of taking this one off.
it is truly a crisis down there, and it's you know, I wish I had the answer of what to do. But first of all, you got to secure the border, and you got to stop these kids from coming across the border. And I think the message that's been sent south of the border to these countries in Central America is that if these kids arrive at the border and cross the border, then they won't be deported. And I think that's the wrong message to send. We've got to change that, which means we may have to change the law that we passed in 2008. It was passed for the best of reasons, because of child trafficking and sex trafficking among children and those kind of things. But these coyotes that bring them up across the border are selling them a bill of goods, and we're trying to reinforce the message that they're not going to be able to stay here. And then you've got to, frankly, deport some. They've got to understand that they're not going to be able to stay in the United States just because they make it to the border. But it is a crisis, because you want to take care of these kids. And humanitarian-wise, you want to take care of these kids. So it's something that that we've got to deal with. But the president has a supplemental request in, a supplemental appropriation request of $3.7 billion to address this. And the border states do need some help in this, because it's putting extraordinary pressure on our detention centers and other things. But like I say, we're going to have to change the law, and we're going to have to secure the border. And I think Rick Perry's right. You're going to have to put the National Guard on the border, because immigration reform is not going to get done until you've got a secure border. That's just the reality.
Congressman Simpson, as we wind down here, the shooting of the plane and the Gaza situation.
Gaza and Israel, you know, that's a crisis that flares up periodically, and you know, we've got to do what we need to do to support our allies in the region, and that is Israel. And they have the right to determine or to defend themselves. And when Hamas in the Gaza Strip rejected the ceasefire, it pretty much told you where they were coming from, that they think this is something that they can win, in the court of public opinion. And I see more and more press saying things like, oh, gee, you know, 200 or 300 or whatever individuals, Palestinians, have been killed in Gaza, and only two or three in Israel. And so it must be disproportionate. Well, war is not supposed to be proportionate. You're supposed to impose heavy casualties on your opponent so that they stop doing what they're doing. And if Hamas would stop firing rockets, I think we could end this situation. But Israel has the right to defend themselves, and I wholeheartedly support what they're doing. The shooting down of the aircraft, the Malaysian aircraft over the Ukraine, is this could be a game changer, frankly. The Russian Federation has, Vladimir Putin has repeatedly tried to say they're just trying to defend the people in eastern Ukraine that want to be part of the Russian Federation instead of Ukraine and those types of things. But we've got pretty good evidence that both the equipment and the training of those individuals that shot down this plane were done in Russia. And I think Russia's going to have to take some responsibility for this, and I think we need to impose some pretty harsh sanctions on Russia, frankly, because this is unacceptable in the worldview.
Congressman Simpson, we'd love to have you back. Thank you.
You bet. It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to
you,
sir.
We'll try and stop by in April.
That'd be great.
In August.
That'd be great, sir. Thank you.
Oh, you bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Congressman Simpson with us. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work.
I would get beaten up at least twice per show, minimum. I don't know what it is about people. They like to see me get whipped. I guess it's because they know I'm going to come back later and get my licks in. But in the meantime, I'm getting it.
Must hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Quickly to Liberal Steve at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller.
Hey, buenos dias, Mr. Hardy. Buenos dias, Kevin Miller. You know, the Tea Party.
Phil Hardy left a half an hour ago. Thanks for paying attention.
Well, I can't always listen out there. I just want to say good morning.
Are you on a speakerphone?
Time to Oh, I'm sorry. Am I on speakerphone? I didn't mean to.
It's very disrespectful.
I know, but you know, with my ears, Kevin, sometimes it's just tough to be on anything. But what I'm saying is,
the Tea Party's dead. They're trying to revive on stale air. And since then, talking about the sheep, rather than asking the question, why didn't Crapo bring hemp into Idaho? We got Colorado building two $55 million factories now, and the federal money is going into the universities to research it.
Really appreciate the help on the income tax. You want to help on the audit now?
Hi, Jim. It's Jamie at the police impound. They picked up your car again. Lately, they've been driving it more than you have.
Hi, Sonny. It's Rocky. I got the bill, and I've been trying to figure out what everybody owes on LJ's birthday party. Tell me, did you have the pink lady?
It's Jack. The check is in the mail. Sorry it's 2 years late. Sorry I misfigured my checking account and I'm overdrawn. Sorry I stopped payment on it. So when it comes, tear it up. Sorry.
Sorry, Liberal Steve. Let's get you to work. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Glenn Beck is next. Good day, God bless, and keep the faith. Serving Emmett, Idaho.